Welcome back to Life Saving Ministries. This is Dr. John Paul, along with Minister Linda. We have a very special message for you this Sunday, and we hope that you will have your Bibles ready, your pens and paper ready to take notes on the scriptures that we'll be discussing. And now, before we begin, let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord God in heaven, we just come before your presence once again to say thank you for the many blessings you continue to bestow upon us, the care that you show for us, the shielding against this disease that you have given us. Father, we just thank you for those things. Now open up your word to our mind, hearts, and soul, that we may comprehend what you have in store for us today through your word, your living word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Today's lesson will be entitled, The Urgency of the Day. And why the urgency of the day? We must prepare, for the night is coming. And let's turn to John chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. And I'd like for you to read with me carefully and pay attention to the last part of verse 3 and all of verse 4. As it reads, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither had this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh, when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Notice the last part of verse 3. "But that the works of God should be made manifest in him." And then verse 4. "I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh, when no man can work." Amen. And I'd like to now turn to a little devotional that is called Jesus Lives by Sarah Young. And in this one, he talks about in his presence. You know, being in God's presence is the most important thing that we can do. And so many people fail to desire to be in the presence of the Lord. And it reads, "I am Emmanuel, God with you, an ever-present help in trouble. No matter what may happen, I am sufficient to provide whatever you need. Instead of imagining how you might respond to terrible things that could happen, draw your mind back to the present and take refuge in my presence. I am much like a mother hen, eager to cover you with my protective pinions. As you struggle under my wings, you will not only find refuge, you will also discover a growing ability to trust me. It is in closeness to me that you realize how trustworthy I am. Remember that I am both your rock and your redeemer. Though I am impregnable in my vast strength, I became a vulnerable man so I could redeem you from sin. The more you take refuge in me, the more aware you become of my overflowing love in me, you are utterly safe. For I am your rock and everlasting love." And out of Psalms chapter 46, 1 through 2, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and mountains fall into the heart of the sea." And then finally, Psalms 91, 4, "Then he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings shall you trust and find refuge. His truth and his faithfulness are a shield and a buckler." There comes a point I'd like to make here in this scripture. So many, many times there are people who may say to me or you, "I must have done some great and heinous sin that such sorrow or tragedy should have overtaken and overwhelmed me." Nothing could be further from spiritual truth. Sin always has a corollary and a commitment, but there are in our lives many sorrows and many tears that are in no wise connected with our personal wrongdoing before God. If suffering was always a corollary of a personal sin, then our Lord and Savior, the Christ Jesus, would certainly have been the greatest of all sinners. And think of the Christian martyrs, Paul and Peter, who laid down their lives in suffering for Christ. It is just that sometimes in some instances are the sufferings that we bear due to our sins. There are some that are very apparent. When some people sin in a certain way, they incur a social disease that destroys their lives. And this is what we want to talk about today. What can destroy us if we do not take time to think about our Lord God and Savior, stay in the Word, read the Word, be committed to meditate upon the Word and absorb it and let it absorb us? There are some things that men do that are following by judgment now upon their sins, but in no wise and no means are the tears and the heartaches and the troubles and the sufferings we sustain in this life due to some heinous and grievous sin that we have committed before the Lord. So the Lord answered the disciples who thought this man being blind, therefore must be an object or a pitiful one of some tragic wrong. The title of our message today is The Urgency of This Day, for the night is coming. And we've read the scripture. Before we go any further, I'd like for you to listen very carefully to this message in music that we have selected today that was very important to us and should be to you. The title to this song is The Holy Hills of Heaven Calling, and it will feature Vestal Goodman and Dottie Rambo.
Across the sea, where love finds land.
Isn't that a wonderful message and song? Being ready for the holy hills of heaven and preparation means that the urgency of the day is upon us, for the night is coming. We must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. Then the night cometh when no man can work. One of the most unusual, gifted, and consecrated ministers of all the story of Christendom was named Robert Murray McShane, and this is taken from a message that I heard not too long ago. He was a young fellow who burned out at about 29 years of age. He died in a very height and peak of ministry. There was hardly a preacher, pastor, who ever shepherded God's flock in Scotland like Robert Murray McShane. He had a tremendous effect upon the Christians even while he lived, and that marvelous influence of a consecrated ministry has blessed the world ever since. Yes, Robert Murray McShane had a watch, a pocket watch, and on the dial he had painted a setting sun and underneath the words written, "The night cometh." What we do, we must do now, for tomorrow sometimes never comes. And my open door and my opportunity is now, for the night cometh when no man can work. That's out of John 9:4. The little time that I have, the little interval, the great intermission between my birth and my death is a gift of God. Remember, God gives us the gift of life, and what we do with it now is so important. Time is an endowment from heaven. You cannot buy it. You cannot merit it. It's something that God bestows upon us from his gracious hands. If you would think upon this, every day has 60 seconds, and 60 seconds is in 60 minutes, and there are 24 hours a day. Let's suppose that you have deposited into your bank account $86,400 to spend. You must spend it during that day. And if you don't spend it, you won't have any to use thereafter. And then the next day you start all over with $86,400 in your bank. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's the amount of time we have in a day, 86,400 seconds to use in our lifetime. If we use it wisely before the night cometh, and night refers to death, the death either to be in hell forever or to live with Christ in heaven eternally. How are you going to spend your time? Are you going to spend it wisely? And to our great surprise, the only one in God's universe that is sensitive to it is the man that God made in his own image. That's out of Genesis chapter 1, 27. A mountain is not sensitive to time. Neither are the hills sensitive to the passing hours. Oceans and stars heed not the years of an aeon or an eternity, nor is the beast or an animal sensitive to passing of time. It is something that belongs to a quickened conscience, to a moral sensitivity. A child is not sensitive to time. If you've ever been in a hurry and you have a little boy or a little girl that you're trying to push along and encourage, come along, we're late, couldn't be more unconcerned or indifferent in your life than the little child about your haste and your hurry. It is something that comes in our moral quickening, our sensitivity to time, and time is the block. There are blocks, minutes, and hours, and the days of which our lives are constructed. I am in this life put together with time, this day and yesterday's and tomorrow's day. It is a gift of God, and the Lord has said, "The night cometh when no man can work," John 9:4. And when our time is done, and the inexorable hour is achieved, and we lay this burden down, what will take place? Will we be with Jesus for eternity, or be without him? No, we cannot change the passing of time, but we can make a decision to use that time more wisely. So we can take a clock and stop its hands, but we cannot stop time. We can take a wristwatch and stop its works, the little wheels that mark off, you know, those seconds and hours, but by no means can we stop that great onward movement of time in our lives. Time does not stop. The great planets in the spheres, in the elliptical circles around the sun, move without haste. There are no second early, there are no second late. But God moves the universe and its orbits and its time. They cannot be hushed, delayed, or hastened. They move according to His mandate as the sovereign Almighty God. And no less does time move in our lives by that same mandate of God. We are here this minute in God's gift and grace, and there is not another minute. And then when the night cometh, it's all over. That's John 9:4 again. Time, it is elusive. That is, it cannot be stored up for another day or to another tomorrow. One of the unusual passages we find in the Bible concerns Felix, the procurator, Roman procurator of Judea. And when Paul preached the gospel to him in Acts 24:24, Felix was moved and trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have more convenient season, I will call upon thee." Acts 24:25. Thinking to store up on some tomorrow the opportunity that he had the day it never comes. No, it never arrives. Time is elusive. What do I do? I must do now. I have no promise of any tomorrow. Now is the time a decision must be made. With this pandemic and with all of the different variants that we're facing and hearing coming at us, please, oh, please, I beg of you, wear your mask. Protect others as well as yourself. For this thing is serious, ladies and gentlemen. Sure, we can get a shot, can protect ourselves a little bit. But time is upon us, and we never know when that hour and that minute may arrive. We must ask God to shield us and protect us, and we must be ready to meet Him when He calls upon us. Time is irrevocable. I cannot call it back. It does not return to me. If I missed an opportunity yesterday, it never returns again. Did you miss an opportunity to say to someone, "Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?" I was talking with Brother Bobby Key the other day, a pastor, and he asked me a question. He said, "When have you ever had someone come up to you and ask you, 'Are you a Christian? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? And are you saved and ready to go to heaven?'" Have you ever had anybody say it to you? Well, let's return that and turn it to the other direction. Have you ever taken the time to say to someone else, "Are you a Christian? Are you ready to go to heaven and meet the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior?" Now is the day, for the night is coming. I'd like for you to take time to think about it. You can't call time back. It doesn't return to me. If I've missed the opportunity yesterday, it never returns again. And someone's soul can be lost just because I would fail to mention to them. I cannot live yesterday over again, nor can I do yesterday what I should have done today forever, because it is passing. Now, as we close out my session before Minister Linda comes with a very important message after the break, and be sure to stay tuned after the break that's coming, I would like for you to think on this thought. The mill cannot grind with water that is already passed downstream. Don't let an opportunity pass. Now let's listen to this music by Carol Robertson. The message is, Jesus will be the light.
Some mornings when I get up, dark clouds are in the sky, and all day the sun fails to shine. Then I think of that morning when I wake up over there in that land where no dark clouds rise.
There won't be no need of the moon and no need of the sun, and there'll never be no night.
All of heaven's gonna shine, and the mansion will be mine, and Jesus will be the light. Some mornings when I get up. Trouble's at the door, and that trouble hides the light of day. Then I think of that morning when I wake up over there, where my troubles will be rolled away.
Don't be no need of the moon, and no need of the sun, and there'll never be no night. All of heaven's gonna shine, and a mansion will be mine, and Jesus will be the light.
Some morning I'll get up in that land so bright and fair, where the streets of gold are gonna shine. But the reason they'll be shining and heaven will be fair is that Jesus will be the light.
Don't be no need of the moon, and no need of the sun, and there'll never be no night.
All of heaven's gonna shine, and the mansion will be mine, and Jesus will be the light.
Don't be no need of the moon, and no need of the sun, and there'll never be no night.
All of heaven's gonna shine, and a mansion will be mine, and Jesus will be the light.
That message in music could have not said it any better for me or for us today. Oh, what a light will be over there when we get to heaven. But oh, what dingy darkness and gnashing of teeth and agony will be in hell for those who don't take time now to prepare and to ask Jesus to come into their hearts. It's so simple. It's a gift of God. God gives you and grants you the most precious gift in the world, and all you have to do is just ask him to come into your heart today. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to say, Lord, I've sinned. Please forgive me from all my past sins, present and future. Lord, come into my heart and live and take over my life today so that I may dwell in heaven with you tomorrow. God bless you. Have a great day. And now listen for Minister Linda when she comes.